Can't Wait for Christmas is a proud member of the Christmas Podcast Network.
Hey, buddy, what you doing?
Is it Christmas yet?
No, sorry, not yet.
I can't wait for Christmas.
Yeah, I can't wait for Christmas either. In fact, let's celebrate now.
Welcome to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast.
It's March 25th, 2024, and that means there's 9 months left until Christmas. Today on the show, we'll learn about a celebration that was kind of like Christmas, but before Christmas, Saturnalia. We'll also give you a tip on how to get a little more prepared for Christmas right now instead of waiting until the end of the year. We got the winner of our recent Who Sang It Best poll, and Glenn from the Seasons Eatings podcast joins us to give us his five golden things. Okay, let's start the show! Welcome, Yule Believers, to the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast, the podcast all about Christmas history, Christmas traditions, Christmas media, and everything else Christmas. I'm your host and recent birthday boy, Tim Babb. Spring has sprung. Easter is just around the corner. The flowers are blooming. The sun is peeking out, which can mean only one thing. Enough of this spring nonsense. We need a little Christmas now.
We need a
tip to get a little Christmas now is a way to stock up for Christmas now, as well as a way to add Christmas to your life randomly for the rest of the year. I mentioned this in passing years ago when we did an episode on the U.S. Post Office, that you can buy Christmas stamps online at any time.
Wait, so you're giving us a tip that you've already given us before? Not even 9 years in and you're already repeating yourself?
Hey, imaginary listener, sounds kind of like Kermit the Frog.
The name is Carl!
So, while I've mentioned this before on the show, it wasn't in the context of a way to prepare for Christmas in the off-season, as the sports folk like to say. I looked, and they have the cartoony elf stamps and the Mary and Baby Jesus stamps from last Christmas. You can order them right now and have them delivered to your house, and you can just keep them on hand until Christmas. Like, they're just stamps. They don't go bad. They're not milk. You can just have them, and you'll have one less thing to do when it comes to the end of the year rushing around shopping season. Buy stamps is one thing that's already checked off your list. And if you buy some extra, that means you can also, throughout this year, when you're mailing other letters, you can use a Christmas stamp on them just to add a little Christmas to your everyday life. I'll put a link in the show notes to where you can buy these stamps on the United States Post Office official website. And now it's time for our countdown feature, Five Golden Things.
Five Golden Things.
All year, I'm turning my countdown feature over to the other talented and merry hosts in the Christmas Podcast Network. Last time, we had Scott from the Holly Jolly Xmasu podcast, and if you haven't heard our February episode, go into your podcatcher, go find the February episode, click Add to Queue so that it plays right after this episode. But right now, we've got another treat for you, because this month we are lucky to have Glenn from the Seasons Eatings podcast. Take it away, Glenn.
The holidays seem to be an endless opportunity to overeat, be it the office Christmas party, church bake sales, and even your own Christmas dinner. Food seems to be everywhere during the holidays. I'm Glenn Warren, host of Seasons Eatings, the podcast which explores the history and origins of your favorite Christmas foods. Here are my top five world record Christmas foods. So grab your fork and maybe some antacid.
Number five.
Overeating doesn't start on December 25th. Most of us seem to get an advent calendar for the beginning of the month. That way you slowly get one treat a day from December 1st through to December 24th. But not L.A. Beast. He got through the whole lot in 1 minute 27 seconds, which includes opening each door in the correct order and eating them one by one.
Number 4.
You can't have the holidays without a little greenery. Sprouts are everywhere at Christmas. Supermarkets are so full of them, you often find loose ones rolling around on the floor in the fruit and veg section. And tempers can be a bit frayed if shops run low. But how many can you eat? Using just a cocktail stick, Linus Urbanek managed to get through 31 when he set a new record for the most Brussels sprouts eaten in 1 minute in Rottne, Sweden in 2008.
Number three.
It's Christmas Day and the table is filled with holiday food such as turkey and all the trimmings. You'll need a large appetite to eat your way through the largest Christmas dinner. A 9.6 kilo or over 21 pound festive feast was dished up on Christmas Eve in 2013. Made up of turkey, carrots, parsnips, broccoli pieces, cauliflower pieces, roast potatoes, pigs in blankets, that's the little sausage wrapped in bacon, and 25 sprouts, it was served by Ashley and Louise Gargan at the Duck Inn in the British village of Oakenshaw, Worcestershire.
Number two.
And after all the turkey and the trimmings, you want to end your meal with something sweet. Weighing in at an enormous 3.8 tons, that's over 7,200 pounds, this Christmas pudding took the villagers of Otton, Lancashire 8 days to put together, between July 3rd to the 11th in 1992, with the villagers completing it on the day before the Otton Pudding Festival.
Number one.
This one is a bit of a double header. The longest Yule log, or Bûche de Noël, was created by Pudong Shangri-La Hotel in Shanghai, China, on December 1st, 2011. In total, it was over 1,000 meters, or over 3,500 feet. Meanwhile, the largest Yule log weighed in at an epic 2.49 tons, over 5,500 pounds, at Edmonton's Northland Spectrum in the state of Alberta, Canada, in December 2000. Although it didn't reach the length of the longest Yule log, it was still 21, almost 22 meters long, over 70 feet, 45 centimeters wide, and 33 centimeters tall. After the record attempt, it was fed to over 3,500 guests at the Northlands Park in Alberta. Phew! After that list, I am stuffed. I'm Glenn Warren, host of the Seasons Eatings podcast, and thank you, Tim, for letting me give you the world record top 5 Christmas foods. I hope you and yours have a great holiday season.
Thanks, Glenn. That definitely broke the record for most Christmas food world records mentioned on this podcast. Now that you've gotten a flavor for Glenn's style, you can check out his show, The Seasons Eatings Podcast. You can find him on your favorite podcatching app or software, or you can find him on the link in the show notes of this episode. Okay, now we're going to switch to the main present under this podcast tree. On this podcast, we've spent a lot of time talking about the origins of Christmas over the years, but very rarely have we gone back further than the birth of Jesus.
Well, how would you? Before Jesus was born, there was no Christmas. You know, the reason for the season and all that?
Yes, but the Christmas celebration takes inspiration from a lot of different festivals and holidays that preceded it. One of them was Saturnalia. Not long ago on social media, there was a trend of women asking their male partners how often they'd thought about the Roman Empire, and it was a surprising amount, with many guys saying they thought about it every day. Well, you're in luck, fellas, because Saturnalia is definitely a holiday that many people refer to as ancient Roman Christmas. But that's an oversimplification and not quite accurate, so tonight, we're gonna look at what we know about Saturnalia, what we don't know about it, and what Christmas took from it.
Saturnalia.
Let's start with what Saturnalia was. It was a celebration of Saturn. Not the planet, but the god that the planet was named after. Father of Jupiter. The old god, the Titan. If you've read the Percy Jackson book series, you might know him by his Greek name, Kronos, father of Zeus.
Hello again, little hero. What sort of trouble are you up to now?
Or maybe you know that from having studied Roman and Greek mythology?
I mean, sure, if you get your information from sources other than pop culture, maybe that's how you know it. Now, Saturn was the god of agriculture, and he was one of the old gods. Like, he was god during the Golden Age, when nobody had to work and there was no class system. So during the celebration of Saturnalia, no one worked. The courts and the schools were closed. And I don't know if lawyer and teacher was the only job they had back then, but those two things being closed somehow meant nobody was working. No work was getting done. They ditched their traditional togas for synthesis, a more colorful and less formal clothing. It'd be kind of like if you normally wear a suit and tie, but on Saturnalia you got to wear a t-shirt and sweatpants.
So pretty much the typical dress code for any tech company?
Basically, but without all the meetings that should have been emails. They would also wear these hats called pileus, which were the hats that an enslaved person would wear when they got their freedom. So basically a freeman's hat. The celebration would start at the Temple of Saturn, which was in the Roman Forum. They would sacrifice a small pig to kick things off, because sure, why not? When you're an ancient god, what you need is a dead pig. Also, during the rest of the year, the statue of Saturn was bound with chains made of wool. But on the first day of Saturnalia, they'd cut the chains to symbolize the god being unleashed. And he wasn't the only one. The entirety of Roman society was unleashed during Saturnalia. Normally, Rome was a very structured class society. But during Saturnalia, drinking, gambling, and general merrymaking were suddenly not only okay, but encouraged. Slaves were served by their masters. Not only that, they were allowed to insult their masters to their face without repercussions. They would also pick a king of Saturnalia, who's usually someone of lower status, who is now charged with keeping the festivities lively. So he'd be like, you there, do a dance, and you, give that person a piggyback ride, and you, I don't see a drink in your hand, you better get some more drinking done, that kind of thing. This was the most popular Roman holiday. It started as one day, then it was extended to five. Then one grumpy emperor rolled it back to 3 days until Caligula put it back to 5 days, and eventually expanded all the way up to 7 days. And there was a phrase that folks would say to celebrate the season. Now, longtime listeners know I will occasionally get to a point like this in the show and pronounce something wrong, and you'll hear it in the outtakes as I try and sort it out. But you're going to hear me say this one wrong right now. There's nothing I can do about it. It's spelled I-O Saturnalia. And I'm not sure if it's pronounced I-O Saturnalia, E-O Saturnalia, or Yo Saturnalia. In the research I've done for this episode, I've heard it pronounced all three ways. All by intelligent people who seem to know what they're talking about. And there's no ancient Romans for me to ask, so I'm just going to go with Yo Saturnalia because it reminds me of Rocky. But the pronunciation of Yo Saturnalia isn't the only thing I'm unsure about. You see, what we know of Saturnalia is not passed down from some ancient instruction book about Saturnalia. We have bits and pieces from works that talk about Saturnalia as though they assume the reader already knows about it. But there's no, like, ye old book of Saturnalia, like, here are the rites and customs. Like, there was no Can't Wait for Saturnalia podcast that we can listen to.
On the Feast of Saturnalia, my master gave to me 3 good meals, 2 pointy hats, and the chance to pretend that I was free.
One of the biggest sources is a text called Saturnalia, but it's a story that takes place during Saturnalia, not a specific description of the holiday itself. It'd be like if you never heard of Christmas, and the only thing you had to describe it was the movie A Christmas Story. I feel like you might overvalue leg lamps in terms of their importance to the holiday of Christmas if you only had that movie to go on, so I worried that might be what's happening with Saturnalia. Also, all of these texts were written by the upper-class folk. So when they say the slaves got the day off and got served by their masters, you kind of want to ask the slaves if that's really how it went down, or if that's how the masters thought it went down. There's also the belief that the church picked December 25th for Christmas to overwrite their holiday over Saturnalia. But actually, it's much more likely that December 25th was chosen to line up with the winter solstice. Then the fact that the two holidays were so near each other led to Christmas adopting a lot of the elements from Saturnalia to entice Romans into Christianity, like, hey, we have fun holidays too!
What elements? Nothing you've said so far sounds like Christmas at all.
I was getting to that. To decorate for Saturnalia, the Romans would hang ivy and holly inside their houses. They'd also put small tin ornaments on bushes and trees. They would also use candles or small oil lamps to decorate trees as well as less traveled parts of the room. They would also give gifts. They were called sigillaria, or little statues made of wax or clay. So we have hanging greenery inside, putting up ornaments, decorating with tiny lights, and giving gifts. But let's not forget all the drunken mischief and mayhem. Christmas used to have that too, and to some degree they stole it from Saturnalia. See, Christmas wasn't always the family-centered holiday that we know and love. It used to involve plenty of carousing and craziness. Christmas celebrations for a while were even banned in some places due to the rowdy mobs. To be honest, that wild spirit hasn't fully left Christmas. There's a phenomenon known as SantaCon that's been around for at least 2 decades. You know what? Listen to this clip from last week tonight to hear what I'm talking about.
SantaCon is essentially a day-long pub crawl organized in various cities where thousands of people can dress up as Santa and get hammered. Now, however fun and whimsical it may sound, it isn't. It is not that. Just listen to this man, and bear in mind, he's talking about Santas here.
They act very crazy, ridiculous. They drink, and they get drunk, and they behave terrible.
Too much alcohol has led to fights and a lot of complaints about crude and lewd behavior.
Yeah, that is what SantaCon is. It's not a magical occasion. It's a terrifying combination of binge drinking, public urination, and trauma to small children that decades of therapy will never manage to reverse.
Yes, Saturnalia was a crazy time, and that craziness is kind of still a part of Christmas. We just have to be careful we don't let things get too crazy. Like, if you try and tell your boss what you really think of him on Christmas, you probably won't have a job by New Year's. But that wraps up our look at Saturnalia. If you'd like to hear some deeper dives, I'll put links in the show notes to some other podcasts who got more into the details of Saturnalia. Those are the Ancient History Fangirl podcast and the Emperors of Rome podcast. Okay, nothing left to say except,
yo, Saturnalia! We did it!
Now it's time to see the results of our musical matchup from last time. Yes, it's time for Who Sang It Best? Last time, we pit Kelly Clarkson against Straight No Chaser to see who sang Run Run Rudolph best. So let's look at how you voted. 77% of you picked Kelly Clarkson's version. Thanks to all who voted, and thanks to both Straight No Chaser and our winner Kelly Clarkson for making great versions of this song for us to enjoy and to engage in pointless, subjective, but entertaining arguments about who sang it best. And that's our show. Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out our show notes for links to buy your Christmas stamps now and for links to the Ancient History Fangirl podcast and the Emperors of Rome podcast for a more in-depth discussion of Saturnalia. And we've also got a link in the show notes to the Seasons Eatings podcast so you can hear our special Five Golden Things guest. All right, that's all the housekeeping we've got for the end of the episode. I hope you have yourself a merry, merry spring. We'll catch you back here on April 25th for our next episode. And until that time, Yule Believers, keep laughing all the way.
And that was Christmas 1983.
Actually, Dad, it's 2024.
Oh.
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Can't Wait for Christmas podcast. If you like what you hear, please subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Play, or wherever you get your podcasts. Remember, if you leave us a review on Apple Podcasts, aka iTunes, and email us about it at christmas@tancast.com, we'll send you a free Can't Wait for Christmas sticker. If you'd like to see the show notes or leave a comment on this or any other episodes, you can go to our official website, cantwaitforchristmaspod.com. While you're there, you'll find a link to our official Zazzle store, where you can grab customizable t-shirts, ornaments, stickers, and all sorts of other Christmas-themed items all year long. We'd love to connect with you on social media. On TikTok, Facebook, Instagram, and Threads, we are Can't Wait for Christmas Pod. And on the app formerly known as Twitter, we are @ChristmasPod. We Wish You a Merry Christmas was performed by the United States Marine Corps Band, and this amazing version of Jingle Bells on the accordion was performed by the wonderful and talented Christian Nowicki. All other music and sounds used in this episode are the properties of their individual copyright holders, and they are used for purposes of commentary and review. No infringement is intended. Okay, boys, did I forget anything?
God bless us, everyone.
Merry Christmas!
All year, I'm turning my countdown feature over to the other talented and merry hosts in the Christmas Podcast Network. Last year, we had... Oh, no, not last year. It was just last month. It feels like a year sometimes, but it wasn't a year. It would be like if you never heard of Christmas and the only thing you had to describe it... It would be like if you never heard of Christmas and the only thing that you had to describe it was the... Criminy. It'd be like if you never heard of writing and Tim wrote something for you and then you had to say it. Last time we pit Kelly Clarkson against Straight No Chaser to sing who Last time we pit my lips against words and my lips lost 20% to 70%. There is undecided 10% who voted for I just don't want to hear him talk anymore. He's bad at it. Last time we pit Kelly Clarkson against Straight No Chaser who It's like the last like five paragraphs of the show, and my mouth has checked out. It's like, nope, sorry. No, thank you. That's what happens. You turn 47, your mouth just stops working. Watch out, KKK. See? I can't even give you the warning. I'm trying to give you the warning, kids. Ward, listen to me. Save your mouth. And that's our show. Thank you for listening. Be sure to check out the show notes for links to your... And that's our show. And until that time, Yule Believers, keep laughing all the way. Until that time? I could say until next time, or I could just stop recording and be done. Oh, I'm about to hit stop. It's going to be that time. Sorry, everybody.